I should say, welcome back to our podcast. We haven't been on in a very long time. You may have noticed that we've changed the name of the show from English Study Academy to Tasty English. And that's because we're changing the show. It's going to be a food-oriented show from now on, which I'm really excited about. I'm also really excited. I have a new co-host. I guess I'll let her introduce herself.
Yeah, my name is Ian. I'm as Jason on iTalki, and then we decided to make this show again, and we decided to focus on our favorite thing, which is food.
Yeah, it's crazy. I meet a lot of people on iTalki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually a really good platform.
Yeah, especially for all the listeners out there, you guys are looking for language practice, and listening to podcasts is excellent, but I think going and finding an iTalki teacher is even more excellent. There's so many good people out there.
Therefore, but anyway, you're welcome to find both of us on iTalki.
Yes, exactly.
Jason teaches English, and I teach, sometimes English as well, but mostly Chinese.
That was crazy. This morning you sent me, or I guess it was last night for you, whatever, you sent me that that advertisement that had my face on it.
Yes.
That was
I was just actually swiping on this iTalki ad on Instagram, but then your face came up, and I definitely should send you.
That's so crazy. My wife, I showed it to my wife, and she said, "Oh, that's a terrible picture of you."
Yeah, and then what I didn't put in the screenshot was that actually they had German introduction sentences under it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Well,
I should include it next time.
Well, so the thing that's so strange is that I teach English on iTalki, but you are my teacher on iTalki.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it weird that like they showed me to you? Because they already have the connection. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I think it's just like, maybe they meant to show this to people in Germany. And then they assume that people in Germany would want to learn English. And therefore, I checked some other profiles. And then they are also English teachers.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I should take some German classes. When I was in college, the language that I studied was German.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't know any German. Anyway. Germany aside, today is... So it's like kind of our welcome back show, and it's November 18th. So we in the United States are gearing up for the largest food eating extravaganza, the biggest food eating festival of the year. Do you know what day I'm talking about?
Most important festival of the year.
Yeah. Do you know what day I'm talking about?
I think it is Thanksgiving.
Yes, it's Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is it's kind of the start of the holiday season in the United States. The holiday season is near the end of the year, and it's just when we have all of our family get-togethers. A lot of gift buying and food eating. It's like what many people consider to be the most wonderful time of the year. And Thanksgiving is like I said, the start of this. It's when everybody gets together. And we literally give thanks for what we have. And then we eat all the food.
So do you really sit together on a table and then everybody takes turns to say, what are they thankful for to each other?
Okay, so it's interesting that you bring that up. When I was a kid, yes, we would do that.
Okay.
Like, so when I was a kid and I don't want to get too deep into my family dynamics here, but when I was a kid, I had my grandparents, my great grandparents, who are the parents of my grandparents, and my great great grandparents. So I had me, my parents, my grandparents, my great five generations of people would come to our Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. Also, it's amazing that, seems that your great-great-grandparents lived pretty long.
You know, it is crazy when you think about that, especially because of all the stuff that happened, like in the 20th century, you know, there was world wars and famines and plagues and all this stuff. But I think that actually the reason I had great, great grandparents was not because they lived so long, but because every generation had children so young.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
I guess. I was talking to my wife about this. When I was born, my grandfather was roughly my age.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that nuts?
So people have kids at like 20 or something?
Yeah. I mean, my mom, you know, I was a happy surprise. My mom had me when she was 18.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And there's a couple generations of that happening. And that's why we had a very, like, you know, a lot of generations together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you five generations of people do things to each other?
Oh my God. So if you look back at old photos of my family, there'd just be like, you know, a ton of people, and we'd all gather in one room and we'd sit around a huge table. And first off, there's a gigantic table, and the table is covered with many, many different types of food. And we'll talk about those in a couple minutes. Everybody mm-hmm. would hold hands. And this is for my family. Other families are different. Everybody would hold hands. They would give some sort of prayer. Usually the oldest man in the family would give some kind of prayer about, you know, being thankful for all the blessings, all the good things that had happened to our family that year. And mm-hmm. then people would go around literally one by one, and they would say one thing they're thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is actually interesting for me to hear, because finally, one thing that I see on educational TV shows is something that Americans actually do. I learned English through watching one educational TV show, which is pretty well made. It is called Family Out of USA. And then there is this episode about Thanksgiving. So that is basically my first impression about American culture and about Thanksgiving in general. So they had turkey, and they had lots of other kinds of food, of course, and each person took turns to say what they were thankful for. And I was really impressed by the harmonious family atmosphere and by how much food people have during Thanksgiving.
So I think that you need to send me a link to that if you can find it. Because I know this is like before the internet, right?
I think that time I was 4. So it should be around, 2000.
Oh, I forget I'm so much older than you are. So if you can find like this resource on the internet, send me a link and I'll put it in on our Twitter feed and on our blog and stuff. Guys, by the way, all of our social media handles have changed to Tasty English. So if you already followed us, no big deal, like you're still following us, but everything else has changed. So Tasty English, TASTEE English, is where to find us on whatever. And we're also starting up a new blog and stuff. It'll come out. Okay, so anyway, so about the Thanksgiving stuff. You know, now that I'm older, we do not do this going around the table and saying what we're thankful for at Thanksgiving. But almost every night during dinner, my small family, you know, just my wife and my kids and I, we will say what we're thankful for.
You mean during Thanksgiving or every single evening?
Like every night during dinner, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know how many times my son has said he's thankful for the dog.
Okay. How did you come up with such a family tradition?
This is something that my wife and I have been doing with our kids for, you know, basically since our kids could speak. And it was just a way to have a moment of reflection at the end of the day.
All right.
Yeah. And I think that's really what Thanksgiving is about. It is about slowing down and having a time where you can reflect on the things that you can appreciate, that you're thankful for in life. Because, you know, there's the world is so fast, right? Like there's always updates on your phone and you're getting pinged by this and that, and you got to do work and you got to do. And so Thanksgiving is a time when you can just kind of slow down, even if it's just for an hour, and reflect mm-hmm. on how good your life is. Not compared to everybody else, but just for yourself. So it's pretty nice.
I think This is definitely what my therapist would ask me to do. So all those gratitude journal and so on, I think Thanksgiving fits that perfectly. So people yes. need this.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very good. It makes you, a lot of times it's easy to get lost, like comparing yourself to other people. And if mm-hmm. you can stop and just be thankful for what you have, not what you want or what you've lost, but what the things that you have now, it does help.
Absolutely.
Okay, but anyway, we'll move away from the psychoanalyst and stuff, and we'll start talking about some food. So, as you mentioned, the centerpiece of almost every Thanksgiving meal, the most important dish, is the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you had turkey before?
Well, I'm sure I've had roasted chicken, but I'm not sure that's exactly turkey.
So, okay, I just want to say, so you teach Mandarin Chinese, but you live in Europe.
Yes, I live in Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think Europeans eat a lot of turkey. Turkey is a bird, a big, fat, flightless bird that lives in the United States.
Like only in the United States and nowhere
yeah,
else?
Yeah, they're from America, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, blame the Chinese language because we call turkey fire chicken. I was just thinking that it's just one type of chicken.
But I think that's a good name because if you think about the fall time and all the trees turn red, and when do we eat turkey? So it makes sense, right?
Okay.
I don't know if that's really where it comes from, but I like it. Okay, so
but maybe you can tell our listeners how does turkey taste like.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so first I just want to say, if you've never had turkey, you should try turkey. You need to try it at least once. But as for myself, I don't like turkey.
Okay.
It's a very dry bird. The meat is very dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like if you've had some good chicken and it's just like so juicy and succulent, right? Turkey is the opposite of that. It you kind of have to choke it down. You'll need a glass of water or beer or something to get the turkey down your throat.
Hmm. Okay. I, of course, didn't see this in the TV show that I saw when I was four. I have no idea about this.
Okay, that said, we have some other foods that we eat with the turkey that help compensate for how dry it is. So I was doing some research about Thanksgiving, and I should say that every American has their favorite Thanksgiving food. When polled, these are the most famous or most, I'm sorry, most popular foods during Thanksgiving. So number one is turkey. It's just so heavily associated with Thanksgiving. Everybody loves turkey, even if they don't like turkey. But the second most popular food is gravy. And we were actually talking about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe gravy. Gravy is, it's a thick kind of a sauce that is made from fat, such as butter or maybe like bacon grease, and you mix in flour. Now, not the types of flours that bees, you know, like, but rather it's the white powder that you get from smashing up grains. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It is flour.
Yes, flour. It's the flour that you use to make bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you take the fat and you mix in the flour and you put in some spices. Everybody has their own spices. And that creates this gravy. And it's just like a sauce, like I said. You can put on your turkey, on your mashed potatoes, on your ice cream. I don't know, whatever you want to put it on. It's quite good, I think.
All right. Do you like gravy yourself?
You know, I do like gravy. And actually, So I have kids and my kids love bacon. bacon is not a Thanksgiving food, but they love eating it. And whenever you cook bacon, bacon produces a lot of fat, right? The fat melts off and it's just stuck in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to waste the fat. So in our fridge, we always have some bacon fat that I've saved. And I don't make it into gravy, but I do use it to cook a lot. So I like the parts that make the gravy, but I don't make gravy myself.
All right.
And mostly just because I'm lazy.
Okay.
But yeah, okay. So we have gravy. And then the next thing we have is I'm going to skip down a couple lines. They mentioned cranberry sauce, sweet potatoes. If you want, you can ask me about those. But I want to get to green bean casserole. Okay. So Jen, do you know what a casserole is?
No idea at all.
Okay. So a casserole is like a crazy American dish. I guess it kind of is like a cassoulet or something. Have you had French cassoulet before?
Not really. It's like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, there are so many French dishes that have difficult names because you are pronouncing them in a totally different way than what they're written. So it is always a difficult task for me.
You know, that's one thing I loved about German is that even though German has super long words, I think they're relatively easy to say if you say them slowly.
It is definitely easier than French. Yeah, for example, croissant. When I saw the first time, I was like, this is croissant. And the people were laughing at
it. Yeah. Well, anyway, okay. So a casserole is basically, it's a big bowl or a pan that you can put in the oven. And you fill it with all sorts of stuff. And there are many, many types of casseroles. You can have a green bean casserole or macaroni casserole or chicken casserole or just any word, any noun that you want, you can put in front of casserole.
Basically, whichever ingredients that you want, you can just throw them in.
Yes. And so, for example, my great aunt, she used to make what she would call her quote unquote infamous green Jell-O casserole.
Okay. What is that?
So infamous means famous, but in a bad way.
Yes.
And so, the reason I'm telling this story is because my aunt has passed away, you know, God rest her soul. So she won't get offended if I tell the story. But one year she made this green Jell-O casserole. And I don't even know how to describe green Jell-O casserole. It's like it's just a sweet, gelatinous, green thing that tastes and looks terrible.
And so, oh wow, this says everything already.
Yes. And so one of the children around the table said, oh, that's Ann Opal Jean's infamous green Jell-O casserole. And and she thought it was cute because she actually was an English teacher, because she thought that they had mixed up the word infamous with famous.
Well, but the surprisingly, the kids really know what the word means.
Yeah, the kid got it right 100%. And so she would always make this. And oh my God, when my wife and I went to visit her, she lived very far away from us one time, and she made that. And you know, she's very old, and you couldn't leave the table unless you eaten all your food, right? And so she gave us big heaping spoonfuls of this Jell-O, and we had to eat every bite of it.
So after that, she really thought that the kids loved it.
Yeah, because she thought that they had mixed up the words.
Wow. See, so this is one good example of why you should learn English well.
Yes. Well, I always tell my students that people make these mistakes all the time. It doesn't matter how good or how well, I'm sorry, you speak English. For me, I use the wrong word, right? But because people are always making mistakes, don't feel bad when you make mistakes because everyone does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but green bean casserole, this is totally different than the green Jell-O. Green bean casserole is, it's the easiest way to make it is you put some green beans Green beans are like these long green. It's kind of like edamame, I guess, but the American version. Do you know what edamame is?
No.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I think my wife is messaging me. Let's see if she can. Oh, that's my brother. Never mind. I thought maybe she's messaging me to bail me out as I try to explain these. A green bean is like so we all know what a bean is, right? A bean is kind of like a little round.
In a way, probably know what green bean is. It's probably like long, and then you have many small beans inside.
No, it's the same. It's not the same thing, but it looks the same.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I was like struggling here. You know, when we talked about making a food show, it didn't occur to me that I was going to have to describe foods.
Because sometimes when people don't know the words, for example, me, I don't know some of the words. And then, well, if you are going to explain to me, then you have to describe it.
I know. So this will be good. This is a good workout for me as like as an English teacher. Normally, uh-huh. with my students, I will draw pictures. That's the way I get out of like not explaining. Okay, so anyway, yeah, you're exactly
right. You can put the drawings on Instagram. That would be
a good place. Yeah, that's a good point. So guys, if you're listening to this show and you just can't wrap your head around what we're saying, go follow us on Tasty English on Instagram. And we'll be posting up pictures and drawings and whatever, maybe even some short videos, so you can see what we're talking about. Now, you can't taste it or smell it, but at least you can see. And so it'll be good for you. So you put some green beans in this dish. You put canned soup in the dish. And then you cover it with French fried onions. French fried onions are just onions that have been sliced so that they make rings. And then the rings are deep fried, meaning that we drop them in some super hot oil. Yeah. And that is a green bean casserole.
All right. Sounds like a huge mix of very different stuff.
Yes. I know. I can tell by your voice that it doesn't sound good, but it's so good.
It's super good. I think you sound a little bit suspicious on how good this will taste.
You know, I always come back to the orange chicken thing. Everybody's against orange chicken until they have it. And I think it's the same, with like green bean casserole. Chicken.
What is orange chicken?
Oh my God. We need to have a show just about orange chicken.
Okay, please do.
Yeah,
just thinking like, well, is that by any chance related to general tossed chicken?
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. I got to write these notes down.
Chicken that I know.
Yeah. Wait, let me just put these notes in here. So, because these are future shows. So guys, if you're listening now and you're just like, what the heck are they talking about? Stay tuned. We will talk about this later.
Yeah, let's do a show about like Chinese American food or just like, well, different kinds of, well, adapted American foods.
I don't know how you spell general Tsao, so I did it as best I could. So yeah, we'll do that. There's so many amazing things. Okay, but we're on Thanksgiving. So there's green bean casserole. There's mashed potatoes. Now, I know Germans are a potato eating people. Do you guys eat mashed potatoes?
I mean, yes, but I think Germans prefer boiled potatoes a bit more.
So a mashed potato is a boiled potato, except then we smash it.
Okay.
That's all. And you put some butter and some spices, but it's basically just potatoes in a different form.
All right.
So let's see, mashed potatoes. Oh, and mashed potatoes can be a bit dry. So people put gravy on those. Basically, anything that's dry, you put gravy on it.
Bread. So is that usually the go-to together with potatoes?
You're saying that mashed potatoes are the go-to for potatoes?
So for example, I think in Germany or in Russia, people do eat potatoes a lot, but then they have this sour cream and they have soup. And they have, sour cabbages or something. So those things go together with potatoes.
Dang. Okay. You bring up a really good point. And And that is that when these dishes are being prepared, they are being prepared generally for huge groups of people. So,
okay.
Yeah, so everything is made in a way that it's easy to serve to a large group. So instead of having like a bunch of individualized, for example, baked potatoes, where we would have to make a bunch of potatoes and then give one potato to each person, we just put them all in a pot, smash them up, and then there's a huge dish that everybody can scoop some out onto their plate.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
Is this so like, how Thanksgiving food go, that you won't have huge portions and then everybody just takes from it?
Exactly. Now, we don't like stick our spoons in and, you know, that we're eating with. There will be a serving spoon or fork or utensil. But yes, people pass the dishes around. Okay, and this brings us to some of our useful vocabulary for today. So we've talked about some foods, but I also want to talk about some phrases or words that you will totally use when you go to your first American Thanksgiving. So number one, probably the most useful phrase is, please pass the something, whatever you want. So for example, what if I'm asking for the cranberry sauce? How would I ask someone to give me the cranberry sauce?
Please pass the cranberry sauce.
Yes, exactly. Or like, you know, the sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Please pass the sweet potatoes.
Excellent. If you know that phrase, you're going to make it in Thanksgiving. Now, what if you don't know what the food is? Well, you can just point and say, would you please pass me that one? That one, you know, or that thing or whatever. If you just point at it and say, would you please pass that? It accomplishes mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yeah.
Pretty easy, right?
Very useful for us.
Okay. Now, what if you have already eaten all of the food on your plate, but you're still hungry?
Well, I think, if I have eaten all the food on my plate, then I can just point out something random on the table and then I can say, please pass me that.
Exactly. And then, of course, your grandma or your aunt is going to say, but Jean, you've already eaten so much. So then you could say to them, oh, there's always room for seconds.
Mm-hmm. So here I have a question about the word seconds. Mm-hmm. So what does this actually refer to?
Okay, now seconds does not refer to a time, like hours, minutes, and seconds, but rather it refers to your second portion, the second plate of food that you will get.
Okay.
And so you could trade this
out. There's always room for second dishes.
Exactly. And let's say that you've already had your seconds. Well, then there's always room for thirds. There's always room for fourths. However many times you go back, you can get more.
I cannot agree more.
And, you know, Americans love to eat on Thanksgiving. We were talking about this, right? The average American eats 4,500 calories just at the Thanksgiving meal.
Wow. What can
That's
I say?
A lot.
What I mean, well, this is one of the very few occasions in the year that you can get that you can get such a massive amount of calories just in one evening. So cherish the chance.
Yes. Well, that you can do it and nobody's going to say anything about it. Exactly. Because if I went out and I ate like three pizzas just like tonight, people would be like, wow, what's wrong with you? But if I did that on Thanksgiving, then it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We're actually going to take a quick commercial break. So we'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
Right.
Okay. And we're back. So we're talking about eating our Thanksgiving meal and going back for seconds or maybe thirds or fourths. And at this point, you have eaten so much food, right? Your belly is getting kind of big. Maybe your pants are a little tight. So we have a phrase in English about loosening the belt. What is a belt? Do you know what a belt is?
The belt is, well, what holds your pants together.
Yes, it's what holds your pants up. And so, sometimes people need to, quote, put another notch on their belt, meaning they make it longer so that it can accommodate their giant stomach.
I imagine this is definitely what happens after 4,500 calories.
I know, right? Okay, totally unrelated. Have you ever seen those mukbang videos on YouTube?
Which videos?
Okay, so there's these like Korean ladies on YouTube, and I think there's like some guys too, but it's mostly girls, and they just eat a ton of food, and then they
Huh.
live stream themselves doing it.
I think these kind of videos are really popular in Asia. I don't know. Like maybe because we do have also food and then we do like to talk about them. But then there are all those kind of weird challenges, also in China that people record themselves and then they show off how much they can eat.
Oh my gosh. When I see those, I see a girl who weighs like, I don't know, 40 kilos or something, and then she just eats like so much food. It's so crazy. All right,
Yeah, but
anyway.
I think it's also like, well, just for appearance. Like, there are people like my mom who does eat a lot, but then she doesn't get fat, but then it's like maybe genetic or something. But then if those people, like, well, that they go on performance and then they still look so thin and eat so much, I think maybe they would, like, well, starve themselves for 3 more days after they finish the show.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I don't like feeling super full. When I eat a giant meal, I just don't feel good afterwards.
Yeah, when you're eating it, you feel good. But then when you
Yes.
go off a threshold and then you start to regret, and then that's the time that I start to feel bad.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, everyone. My dog is going crazy outside. So it is afternoon for me here. The sun is going down, and that is the time when my dog goes crazy.
Ah, okay.
Because everybody's coming home, and she just like, I don't know, she just goes crazy. But the reason the sun's going down so early is because it is a certain time of year that we call fall time, or the other word is autumn. Now, why is it called fall and autumn? Actually, I don't know why it's. Do you know why it's called autumn?
Autumn, I have no idea, but I know why is it fall, because the
Tell me.
leaves fall during this time.
Yes, that's what I think too. I need to look up the autumn one. I think autumn might have to do something with might be like a Latin or a Greek word. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
Okay,
Well, when I
so
was learning English myself, my teachers always told me that fall is in American English and autumn is in British English. So is this true that Americans do use fall more than autumn?
I think it depends on the person.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I think fall is probably more common, generally speaking, but it's totally interchangeable with autumn. If I said autumn to somebody, and which is, by the way, is how I would say it. I wouldn't say autumn. I would say autumn. They know what I'm talking about. But if I said fall, they also know. So, the interesting thing is that in English, girls are often named Autumn.
Seriously, so that's a legitimate name?
Yes, but no girls are named Fall.
Yeah, that would be tricky.
I don't. Maybe it doesn't sound funny to you, but somebody being named Fall would be hilarious.
Well, but then actually in China, lots of girls like to name themselves Summer. Is this also a legitimate name?
Yes. Summer. Oh, hold on. My phone's going off. Let me turn off the alarm. So Summer is a common name. Autumn is a common name. Spring is not a common name, but April and May are common names. So those are time in spring, right? Now, winter. Nobody is named Winter in English. Although I've had students whose names are
It's a
Winter.
last name, but then for first name, especially for girls, I have never heard of it.
For what?
Yeah, so I think Winter can be a family name.
Oh,
And
yeah, family name. Yes, yeah. Sorry, you cut out there for a second. Yeah, English names are crazy. I don't know why Winter is not a name, but I'm trying to think other names for other month names. Like June is a name. Augusta is a name. Yeah, February? No, January. Oh, some girls are named January. Yeah.
oh, interesting.
Well, so as we're saying this, I noticed that mostly only girls are named after months. And seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, when you just talk about August, I think Augustus is a boy's name, but that is one exception.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I have met somebody named Augusta, like a girl's name, but not Augustus. Although I know, like, historically of people named Augustus. Crazy.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. Let's go back into our we're talking about food. Oh, okay. So you've had to loosen your belt, right? Because you ate so much food. Now, when you eat that food, you often will sit down on the couch and then sink into what we call in English a food coma. This is two words put together. I'm sure everybody knows what the word food means, but the word coma is a little trickier. A
Yes,
coma.
I'm personally not very sure, so please explain.
Yeah, well, so earlier, right, when we're chatting about this, you had an interesting guess. You had said something like when somebody goes to jail, right? Yeah, which I thought was like kind of on the right track. A coma is when somebody falls asleep and they can't wake up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Therefore, a food coma is that I cannot wake up after I took some food?
Yeah, like you ate so much that you just fall asleep. Does that happen to you?
Yes, definitely.
I've noticed that as I get older, like it's a bigger problem. Like if I eat a big dinner, oh my God, I'm just so tired. I don't know why. It's the worst.
Yeah, because, well, also I feel a bit tired after lunch, so I am the least productive when I try to work after I just finished lunch. So I guess this happens.
Yeah, that like 2 p.m. that 2 p.m. Like slow down, right? Oh my
Yeah, this
gosh.
is the worst time for work.
Yes, I agree. Also for I'm more of a nocturnal person. I would prefer to be awake at night and asleep during the day. So,
Ah, okay.
but obviously I can't do that because, I have to be at work for awake awake for work. Anyway, okay,
Okay.
so
So
the
actually,
last oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
yeah, like, well, actually, you can cut this part out. My boyfriend does the same. So he sleeps very late, and then he wakes up also very late. But then because he's self-employed, so he can do whatever he wants.
Oh my gosh, what a lucky guy. Oh,
Yeah,
by the
definitely.
way, I tell your boyfriend I emailed him. I'm trying to get him to come back on our other show.
Okay, yeah, I'll tell
Yeah,
him.
just let him know. If but okay, but if he doesn't want to come in, like come onto the show, I'm perfectly okay with that. I won't be offended at all.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, so like no pressure. Okay, anyway, so the last there's like two more words I want to cover here. The first one is kind of a crazy word, but it sounds like something you'd never use, but it's actually pretty common in English, and this is a cornucopia. I don't know an easy way to describe a cornucopia. We were talking about this before the show, right? And it's just such a weird image. It's rooted in ancient Roman mythology. It has to do with a horn that has been broken off from like a ram or a goat. And then from the horn, an endless supply of infinitely variable food pours out. Was that a good image I made there?
Yes, to some extent.
Okay, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
I believe, well, a nice Instagram picture to visualize this will be nice.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, so again, go follow us, Tasty English on Instagram. because we will have pictures of all of these foods. Also, as Thanksgiving, you know, as I prepare, because I have to cook food for Thanksgiving, and when I'm at Thanksgiving, I will post tons of pictures so that everyone can see what's going on, because there's going to be a lot of good Instagrammable moments, you know, during the Thanksgiving feast. Okay, so a cornucopia. So what a cornucopia looks like maybe is not so important, but how to use it is pretty important. We use cornucopia to describe something where there's a lot of it and there's a lot of variety. So a lot of different types. So for example, maybe I would say when I went to my Thanksgiving feast that there was a cornucopia of food on the table. A cornucopia of food on the table. That means there is a lot of food. So you can think of cornucopia as being a substitute for the word a lot.
So can you use cornucopia to describe other things that is not food?
You know, in English, and I think especially in modern English, we love to use words incorrectly for things that they don't belong on. So yes. So for example, let's say like I was looking for English learning podcasts, and I browse through my podcast app and I say, wow, there is a cornucopia of English podcasts available.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, cornucopia, it means it's for food, but you can use it to describe other things, often, you know, like for comedic effect, right? To make it funny. So yeah, a cornucopia of blah, blah, blah means there is a lot of blah, blah, blah. It's super useful.
So if you say this, would this sound like a slang, or would it sound too formal, or how does it sound like to native speakers?
I'm glad you asked that. I think that if you used cornucopia, one, this is what we'd call a 50-cent word. It's like one of those words where you want to pull out when you pull out when you want to impress somebody.
Right? Okay.
So there's that. The second thing is that if you use it, I wouldn't say that it's a slang, but it's very evocative, meaning it gives people a certain feeling. If somebody who is from the U.S. and now I want to make sure that this give context here. I think as a person from the United States, a cornucopia would instantly make you think of a huge variety of, of a very rich variety of things. I don't know if this is true in Europe. Like, would the British agree? I don't know. But in America, anybody who hears this word is going to instantly think of like, oh man, there's so many things. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I think many advanced English learners might not have even heard of this word.
Yes. I think even some native English speakers may not have heard of this word, which again is why you should totally put this one in your pocket and pull it out when you're really trying to impress somebody. They'll be like, wow, that was cool. Okay.
Cool.
Final word I want to cover. Now, this is one that I think everybody knows, but I think it's super interesting. And it doesn't really have anything to do with Thanksgiving, but rather the day after. And that is, do you know what I'm going to talk about here?
Black Friday.
Yes, Black Friday. Everyone's favorite day. Everyone's favorite day, unless you have to go work at one of the stores where the sales are going on, right? And you don't like it. So,
yeah, I remember when I was in Finland, where uh-huh. Black Friday is not very much of a thing, but then, yeah. Well, they started to adapt this American or international way of operating. Then there are really people just lining up, after midnight, and then waiting for the shops to open.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah. But I think people are having fun. Well, at least the people who were lining up, they were having fun. But then the shop assistants, I think they were probably suffering a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I remember, I don't know, it must have been like 10 or 11 years ago. My sister-in-law, she worked at, Target or Walmart, one of these large chain stores we have in the U.S. And she had to leave to go to work on Thanksgiving Day. And this is the first time that had ever happened. And I remember everyone was very upset because Thanksgiving is a day when you're not supposed to work. And so the fact that she had to go to work so that she could prepare for Black Friday made a lot of people angry.
Okay, okay, I got it. Because that's the time that usually you guys are having dinner together, but then she has to go to work.
Exactly. And my family, we tend to eat Thanksgiving dinner early in the afternoon. But many families eat later in the evening. Like, and I'll give you an example. Because my, you know, my wife and I, you know, when I was young, all of our families would come together. Everybody would be in the same room. But I, for many complicated reasons, we've never been able to get my wife's family and my family to be in the same place. You know, it's actually kind of interesting. I think our parents only met each other maybe twice in the entire time we've known each other. Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
Yeah. That maybe three times.
Does your wife's family celebrate Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my family would have Thanksgiving in the early afternoon. And then we would go to my wife's family's celebration in the evening.
Yeah.
So okay. We actually would have two Thanksgivings. And I have found through my own experience that this is super common now in the United States. When I was a kid, I feel like everybody came to one spot. We would all agree to go to one place. But now it seems that people do multiple Thanksgivings and multiple Christmases all around. Mm. Isn't that weird? And actually, for my daughter's birthday, I mean, she had multiple birthdays. We had different groups. Now, maybe this was because of the coronavirus pandemic, but we had multiple little parties for her.
So, you mean with different people?
Yes, with different groups of people.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that this is just the way things are now. I don't know.
Yeah, now, but, I mean, with the virus, then maybe people are more afraid of, well, getting to crowded places, or maybe because people just want to, like, be more individual and then just see the people that they already know.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, it's easier to have smaller groups because I'm sure you've experienced this, right, where one group of people, you have to act a totally different way than around a different group of people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so before we go, I just want to explain the word Black Friday, where it comes from. I know because it's American, I've had students who thought Black Friday had to do with African Americans, but it does not.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. And if you thought that, that's okay. Like, it's not a bad thing. I know that, like, the race relations in the U.S. can be a touchy subject, but if you do make a mistake like that, don't feel bad. It's totally normal and totally understandable. I'll give you a funny example. One time my daughter was at school and there was a girl and she was wearing all black clothes. And keep in mind, my daughter was in first grade at the time. And she said to that girl, "You look very black today." And yeah. And so she was talking about her clothing, but you know, like, it could have been interpreted in a bad way. But my she didn't mean it in a bad way. And so everybody knew that. And so I talked to her later and I said, "Oh, you got to be careful about that." And then, you know, so that's the way it is. If you make like a misstep in English, don't worry. People will understand and they'll be okay with it. Okay, so Black Friday. It's not about African Americans. It's actually talking about the businesses that are open on Black Friday. Many businesses do most of their sales during the holiday seasons, and the first day, their biggest day of sales in the year, is on Black Friday. And so, you know, I'm sure we've all seen the line of a business's revenue, you know, the money they make. And when they're losing money, what color is it?
Green?
It's red.
Seriously?
Yeah, maybe in Germany it's green. In the United States it's red. But when the line is below zero, meaning they've lost money, the line is red. But when the line goes above, when I say line, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm describing a graph. Oh. I'm describing a graph here.
Yes.
Yeah, this will be another Instagram picture. So when the line goes above zero, when the money they've made money for the year, they're in the black, as we say.
Yes, that is the same in Germany. It's just that it is reversed in China because people like red so much that they want red to be popular.
Really? So if you're losing money, you're in the black.
Yeah. If you're losing money, you're in the green.
Oh, in the green. Okay.
Well, in the stock market, if that is red, then it means that you're earning money. If it's green, then you're losing money.
Oh my God, that's crazy. If I saw a red, I would think, oh, you're losing so much money. It's so bad.
We reverse it. I think it's just because people like red so much.
Yeah. It's, you know, that we should do a show about colors and food because I think there's a lot of colors that are unappetizing to Chinese or unappetizing to Americans and like vice versa. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, cool. You know, we're going to wrap it up actually because I need to go get my kids from school. And also today is my wife's birthday and we're going to go out to dinner. So I hope everybody enjoyed our first show back. I'm really excited about the direction that we're taking things. This is not our last Thanksgiving podcast. I think we're probably going to do another Thanksgiving episode next week. Maybe not on Thursday, but on Wednesday because Thursday is Thanksgiving. I will be posting stuff on Instagram. I need to give you the Instagram login so that you can post stuff if you feel so inclined.
Yes.
Guys, follow us, like us, write reviews of us on whatever your podcast app of choice is. Do you have anything to say before we go?
So, we look forward to hearing what you think about this new episode after this long pause that we had. And, well, we hope that you get to eat lots of food during your Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah, this week coming up, everybody will be cooking. Like, basically starting probably starting last week, everybody was already beginning to cook. My Instagram was full of photos of people getting their food ready. It is a big deal. It's crazy.
That's nice. By the way, I have found this Family Album USA episode on Thanksgiving. I will send it to you.
Oh, excellent. Cool. I'll put that up on our social media so other people can find it. Is it the whole series?
Well, it is the series. I think they have 26 episodes in total. And then this one episode is about Thanksgiving.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, well, guys, hey, we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
See you. Bye.